said.
What?
You said you have the tape. Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing today? Praise God. You ever bite off a little more than you could chew for a week? Like, my brother and sister-in-law were in town, and I was like, Mom, let's go skiing, so I'll preach for you. It'll be real good. And then it got rained out. So we had an awesome young adults program last night at Emily, actually. You guys know Emily Hicks? She runs up our young adults program, and just it was awesome, and she shared a word, and I'm just grateful for all the Lord is doing. So good. So,
don't look at the woman in the room.
That's okay. I'm confessing sin in the fact that I did not do a sound check early, so that's my fault. So, thanks for grace covering. All right. So, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. You cover us. Even when we mess up, you cover us. You cover us with your love and your forgiveness. Thank you for covering us in your blood, Jesus. We love you. And Lord, we just give you this service. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. We're going with you. We are sticking with you and we're going where you want to go. Thank you for a new year. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, this is part two of my series and I got so much stuff I could probably go on a long time. So we'll see what, well, we will end on time, but we just might keep having, you know, part three, four, five, whatever. All right, so I started last week and it's called New Beginnings, part two, faith in action. So this is part two, as in the next step. You can say you have faith, but if you don't act on it, that's what we're going to talk about today. All right, so I love to study God's word. I'm kind of nerdy like that. I hate writing. Like, writing is hard for me, but I love to read. So if you want to go back and dig into Joshua chapters 2-6, such a really powerful thing. It is inspirational. I want you to find yourself in that story. You will always find yourself in the Word of God. So Joshua chapter 2-6, and you can actually open up to Joshua chapter 2. And you could also go ahead and study James chapter 2:14-26. Also, Hebrews 11, do the whole thing, but 30-31 is awesome. And Matthew 1-5, and it'll be online for all you note takers. So happy new year, Your Christian Fellowship. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. Last week, I talked about a divine reset. That's when God totally reboots your life and resets and makes all things new. And we're entering into also a new season at York Christian Fellowship because God's making new things all the time, right? There's a fresh flow, fresh wine of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean we're pouring in the back. It actually means the anointing, the power of God is moving freshly all the time. And you don't need to turn a calendar page to actually have a new beginning, right? Because our new beginning starts every day with Christ Jesus. Every day we wake up to a brand new beginning in Him, no matter how dumb we were 10 minutes ago. Call the name of Jesus, and He makes all things new. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, who belongs to Christ? Whoa, thank God, man, I'm sticking with Him. I've tried to do life without Him. It is better with Him. Amen. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Everybody say, I'm a new person. New creation. I'm a new creation. Praise God. I was embarrassing back in the day. You know, I'm 38. So I didn't have social media when at the peak of my dumbness. Praise God. It's not documented. Okay. So the old life is gone and a new life has begun. We are new creations. We have a new life in Christ Jesus. Our fresh start is every day in Christ. And that's the power of the gospel. Anybody know what the gospel means? It translates to the good news. And did you know a perfect translation, almost perfect, is the almost too good to be true news? Because it's crazy talk. It's bananas. Because it says this in Colossians 3:1-3. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth, not about your past, not about how dumb we were 10 minutes ago. It says, because that life has died with Christ, and our real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is yours, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of His glory. When they see Jesus in you, they know your past. Everybody knows your past. But guess what? What they do is they see Jesus in you now. And that gives Him glory. It doesn't matter what your past is. It matters what He's doing. What? Now. Now. So, okay, so with each new year, by the way, we talked about this last week, but I want to say this. This is now the time to dream with God. Now is the time to get new dreams and fresh vision. Because remember, his newness is renewed every day. But if we live off the past 20 years ago, what he told you to do, you know, he's doing a new thing always. Always. So it's time to start stepping out in faith in the dreams that he's given in your heart. So we're going to talk about today, because when you step out in faith, you actually partner with God as a co-laborer in Christ Jesus, and you will walk out the promises of God. So each new year brings with it all sorts of good intentions. How many people made some New Year's resolutions? Shout them out for all you like classroom talkers. Come on, come on. What was your New Year's resolution? What was it? Practice love. That is a good one. That's like tattoo worthy. I mean, it's so good. Practice love. I'm not promoting tattoos, but I like them. All right. So New Year's resolutions, sometimes it's about changing things up in our lives. And often it's because we're just so tired of the dull old bleh of our previous life of the previous year. And we try to do things healthier. We try to eat healthier. We try to exercise more, or at least take the stairs. How many people are like, you know what? I'm just going to take the stairs. Gym membership, $10 a month plus, but there's an initiation fee and I'm cheap and I like shoes, but take the stairs. All right. You could start dusting off your treadmill. I literally know a time in my life where only thing I used it for was to dry my clothes. Yep. Yep. Dust it off. It actually dusts it while you dry your clothes. It's a 2-for-1. actually use your gym membership. How about save more money, pay off your car? How many people that are like still in their 30s paying off their school loans? Pay off our school loans. It's going to be great. It might be you get a new hobby. How about make new real live friends that you can touch, not just online, like, you know, hang out with friends. How about stop Netflix binging while scrolling through Instagram, eating fast food, and still pretending like you have friends because you're online. You could actually watch one show at a time with your friend. How many people remember the day when you just watched one show at a time? I'm old enough to remember, 38 years old, like your show came on, you invited all your friends over because you had cable, you know, or you had, later it came TiVo, you know, you could like record it and everybody come over, you have a big party, you'd have dinner and you'd watch your one show and then you'd hang out and you had friends. But now we just binge watch and pick our nose, and don't act like you've never done it. Don't act like you've never picked your nose, been watching Netflix while eating fast food and just knowing nobody's watching. These are bad habits. And you know, the list could go on and on. So it seems like we make New Year's resolutions every year. Maybe I listed one of yours. Binge watching, I'm working on it. All right, so I'll say this. We do it because we're just tired of the same old, same old. We're tired of the dull blah. We want a better life. We want to be healthier, body, soul, and spirit. We want new adventures in life. And we see the beginning of each year as a chance to do that. But why does there seem to be no long-term change? Why do we make these resolutions every year and they don't stick? Or how many of you are just like, I stopped making resolutions because it was like pointless? I just lying to myself. you know, oftentimes we make resolutions that are just all talk with no action plan. No action plan. All right. So I was never a cheerleader in life and all the trouble I ever got into in college was with cheerleaders. But I did have a cheerleader roommate that cheered in her sleep one time. By the way, my cousins were awesome cheerleaders. They were the good kind you should hang out with. But the ones that I went to college with, not so much. But I remember one time in her sleep, she actually cheered. Action, action, we want action. ACTION. And I literally made fun of her the rest of our lives because I was like, you cheer in your sleep. But you know what? I think that's a good cheer. I think it's a good cheer because, do you know this? The statistics, they did a study that only 8% of the people that make New Year's resolutions actually do them. 8%. For you non-math people, that's like this many fingers. I'm not a math person. Okay. You know, 8%. And why? Why do we slack off? Why do we not like follow through? Because it actually boils down to just a straight up lack of commitment. And my pastor in Tulsa, I served at their church. Let's see, I was there in Tulsa 11 years. I was at that church for 9 years. He used to always say this. He says, commitment is walking into a room with no exits. Wow. Commitment is walking into a room with no exits. If you ever heard the story of the conquerors that conquered South America in a terrible way, and I'm not glorifying them, but there was an interesting moment where the commander burnt the boats. So they would have to commit to conquer. Commitment is burning the boats. It is, I'm going to step out of my boat and do something really uncomfortable in faith. And I'm going to, you know, just douse it with gasoline and throw a match and like they do in the movies. And I burnt the boat. There is no going back. So I guess I can only walk on water now. And when I start sinking, I guess, Jesus, you're going to pull me up because I'm sticking with you because there's no going back to my past. There's no going back to my old way of life. How many of you have burnt the boat to your old way of life? Amen. Amen. Like I'm so like I just knew it was time for Mark to share. And thank you, by the way, for that man of God just stepped out on water. He didn't know he was doing that, but he burnt the boat. There's no going back. And you know, a great way to burn the boat is to just glorify God and tell people your testimony all the time. Right? you know, I'll also say this. It's a matter of how desperate are you? Desperate times call for desperate measures. You know, so funny, people are like, oh, I'm just believing God. God's going to get me out of debt. God's going to get me out of debt. Well, desperate times, desperate measures. What are you doing? Yeah, chop up your credit cards. Cancel Netflix. It's only $12 a month. It's $12 a month. Desperate times, desperate measures. Action, action. We want action. A-C-T-I-O-N. Okay. Courtney Stevenson, actually my bestest friend to this day. An amazing, amazing person. Okay, so what happened with the other 92%? How many people are of the, besides myself, the 92% of other people who have trouble walking out your resolutions, have trouble walking out what you promised yourself to do? So what if I told you 2020 could be that year? If, everybody say if we go all in with God, if we go all in and take some action out of your boat and burn it, no going back, to walk into the promises of God and a new beginning in your life. God promises a new beginning. Every day we wake up to a new beginning, but we're going to have to take some action to walk into it. And guess what? Even when you mess up, we get back on the saddle every day because his mercies are renewed every morning. Praise God. You know, I always like to tell my young adults that beat themselves up over stuff because you all remember your 20s, or if you had a lot of fun, you don't remember your 20s. Okay. And they beat themselves up. I was like, listen, okay. Did we take two steps forward? They're like, yes. You took a step back, but guess what? We still took two steps forward. That means we move forward. All right. So I'm going to give you five steps, and I think they're going to be on the screen here. And if not, I'll just repeat them. All right. So number one, write this down. Write the vision. And I talked about this at last week. So write your vision and the steps God is asking you to take. Because you can say, I'm going to California, but unless you get a map and get your GPS and put gas in your car and actually get out of your driveway, you going to Cali? No. So write your vision and steps God is asking you to take. Number two, people are like, this is dumb, Sherry. I know this stuff. I'm like, then why aren't we doing it? Myself included, working on it. Okay, number two, pray the word of God over your life. Pray the word of God in your life and fast distractions. Oh, fasting. Now, I don't know about you, but like, I mean, I like food a lot. It's a lot of fun. I've been dating and I put on like 5 pounds because all I do is like eat fried chicken and soda and it's been wonderful. legit. My skinny jeans, I literally was trying to wear my like extra skinny jeans right before youth group and I was doing the jump and we were done. That was it. They have been retired because you know what? I'm dating, so who cares? So fasting, if you fast just food without spending time in the word of God and praying and declaring it over your life with some action steps, you are just on a glorified diet. Don't tell people you're fasting because your life ain't changing. You're just losing some weight. All right. But when you fast, it is a way of burning the boat and breaking the distraction of those things in your life. So I actually tell my students all the time, for many of them, food isn't like an issue with them because they just have real fun. You know, they go out and do stuff. For them, it's oftentimes social media or, you know, movies or just the things that consume our life of like 3 hours of scrolling through Instagram. Never ask your kid how much they're on social media because it will scare you and then you will burn their phone. So sorry, guys. All right, moving along. All right, so step three, meditate on God's word. Let it sink deep in and saturate your heart to the point where it overflows. And I did like a 9-week series on a spirit-filled life, so you can look that up on what overflow means. Number four, speak the word in faith over your life. And I talked about that in my series, what it means to prophesy life over you. I got some stories to share, and I never got to my steps last week, so we're just doing it up front. All right, then the last one. You can't stop there at just talking it. Take action steps in faith. And we, in Christians, and even in the Word of Faith movement, the charismatic movement, we kind of forget the last part. We just name it and claim it, and we forget we got to do something. And we'll talk more about that later. It's going to be fun. All right. So let me think here. Where do we want to go? Lord God, I thank you are showing me how to focus. Praise God. So we're going to talk today about how to walk out that new beginning in Christ to a long-term change into the promises of God. And if you write down those five steps, stick them on your mirror. It's not profound. It's just stuff we got to do, right? You got to do it. You know, they said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So maybe we should get to step five, okay? Let's work at it. Don't kick off us Word of Faith people in step four. You got to do step five. All right. So we can't afford to be like Israel. I ended on this last week. Israel, they was going round and round in circles in the wilderness because they were just too distracted, just caught up in complaining to actually go up and take the opportunity to spend time with Lord and go up the mountain. I spoke on that 2 weeks ago. So this is kind of my building thing. So Israel was stuck in the desert because all they're doing is complaining and grumbling, posting on social media. Everybody's like, because I'm miserable too. That's why we like social media, because all the misery loves company. Like, come on. All right. And instead, get off social media and all your like crying and stuff like that and actually spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with the Lord. Because Moses got his divine reset out of an overflow of seeking the Lord, right? And that's when his recommissioning came. That's when the fresh vision, new beginning, direction came. So your new recommissioning, your fresh start overflows out of your time with God. But today, the second step is this. It will also now take steps of faith in action. Steps of faith in action. And today we're going to dig into an unlikely hero of faith. Her name is Rahab the harlot. Anybody know what a harlot is? A woman of the night. A call girl. An escort, you know, because we'd be classy in Nevada. All right? Yeah. It's just legal now. Whatever. All right. So she's actually listed as a faith hero, by the way. By the way. So it's because she actually took action steps in faith into a new beginning by the grace of God. Now, the Bible instructs us to study and take action to follow the examples of the heroes of faith. So if you read in Hebrews chapter 6, 11 through 12, it says this. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized and come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull, indifferent, and sluggish. Instead, follow those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patient endurance. And in this series, I'm going to share about different people, and it all happened to them in different ways. Because there's really no formula in the gospel. I just gave you steps because it gives you something to kind of like focus on. But every person's different. God's going to move in your life a little bit different. But I'm going to share some truth for you to pray about. And you're going to see which of these people you relate with. Last week it was Moses. Today we're talking about Rahab the harlot. I love her. She's fantastic. Her story is so cool. Because Rahab needed a new beginning just like us. How many people have a bit of a messy past that we just needed a new beginning in? You know, just life hands you stuff. You know, we got lemons, we make lemonade. God's going to make some good lemonade and help a lot of people. So that's found in Joshua chapter 2, verse 6. So here's the backstory, where we left off last week with Moses, right? Remember, he was recommissioned by God to take the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and into the promised land. And through their grumbling and complaining and lack of spending time with God, that relationship with God at arm's length, at a distance, send Moses, send the pastor to tell me what he's saying. They wasted 40 years and an entire generation was lost. So we're going to pick up in the story because what happened in that 40 years, Moses passed on and he actually passed the torch on to this guy named Joshua. And Joshua was the guy he discipled or mentored. And now we have 3 million people that are finally ready to get over themselves, stop grumbling and complaining, and cross the Jordan into a new beginning in the promised land. And our story picks up just east of Canaan. And the first objective is this, to conquer the infamous double-walled city, the impossible city of Jericho. So I did a little research on Jericho, and they said this. So this is this huge city with not just one wall, but two walls. And I want you, so you picture people. I want you to just, everybody close your eyes. And I want you to like picture this because I'm going to read my notes. All right. Close your eyes. All right. So at the bottom, there was a base stone retaining wall. Now my dad built houses. So you know what that retaining wall is? You know, so it's just big chunks of stone built real high, 15 feet high, a bottom base stone retaining wall. And then topped on top of that was built a brick wall 26 feet high and 6 feet thick. My dad was 6'4". That is a thick, tall wall. And on top of that, there was a 28-foot tower. And experts have speculated then there was a crest embankment, another wall, so built up on a hill. So then there's this other wall. If the first one didn't get you, the second one would. 46 feet above ground level is the total. So the two walls combined. So we have the base stone wall, the one wall, and then up a little bit more is another wall. So the children of Israel are looking up 46 feet. That feels impossible. In fact, it was actually known, the epically impossible city to breach, Jericho. And it said that it was just when they went there, it was right after harvest season. So they could just hole up and tuck up in that city and be besieged until the children of Israel ran out of food. This was not looking good. But we know this, that with God, everybody say, with God, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen? Now, with belief comes corresponding action. I'm not going to sing it. Okay. So, all right. So we have this wise leader, Joshua, and he says this. He said, okay, so we're going to use some wisdom. We know God's calling us to conquer this, but you know, it says know thy enemy, right? So he sent two spies into the city to go figure out what's up. You know, what are we conquering here? Let's just see who they are, what kind of people they are, and what their vulnerabilities are. And this is where we find our unlikely hero, Rahab. And beside her name, literally almost every time she's listed, Rahab the prostitute, like every time. And like, it'd be like, it was her occupation. So it'd be, Mike the mechanic, Mandy the photographer, Dee the pastor, Rahab the harlot. Really exciting. It was a very common occupation back then. All right. So, and like I said, she's a lady of the night. She's an escort. She's a call girl. She is the town ho. And if you're offended by that, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Okay, moving on. She was that girl. Okay, society loves to slap labels on our head of our past, our occupation, our current situation, the reputation we apparently made in high school, and that is why we do not go back to our reunion. All right? And every time her name is mentioned, almost every time, that label is there. The shady reputation, the resume right next to her name. Rahab the harlot, the town ho. So she was the girl that nobody wanted to bring home to mom. You know, you might want to date her a little bit in high school, but yeah, we ain't bringing her home to mom. I don't even know if she's going to be a prom date. But, you know, she's the girl you don't want to move into your neighborhood. She's the girl you don't want your kids talking to. And she is definitely the girl you do not leave your husband alone in the same room with. I once had a roommate that I would like, if I had a crush, I'd leave for the weekend, she'd make out with him. So I was like, seriously, come on, you know, like, don't leave him alone in the room with her. So Rahab, her lifestyle was something that people like to point the finger at. But we know people like to point the finger to take the heat off them. Let's be real. Everybody likes to talk, because we can get everybody talking about them and that girl. They're not going to look at all my junk that I like to hide. And Jesus talks about that. Amen. By the way, Jesus loves Rahab. She's a hero of faith, and we have a lot to learn from her story. She is the best person to illustrate that it is never too late for God to use your life and not only just help someone else, but literally save a whole generation. Can you think of people with some kind of sketchy, messy backgrounds that have just saved lives because of it? Powerful. My dad had a little bit of a sketchy background, made him an awesome pastor. I'll tell you, I am so comfortable around people that have been totally just set free from addiction and rough sorts because that was who my dad was and that was who he was called to and that is the DNA of our church. Praise God. Amen? Because God will take anybody's story and help someone else for his glory. So there's a reason the Bible recorded her name, Rahab the harlot. And it was to show what, how the grace and the glory of God of his redemption, how he bought back her life and made it so significant and made her a hero of the faith, gave her a whole new life and took what was once the quote trashy person, the throwaway person, the person that society had no expectations for, would like to kind of tuck away and hide. And God flipped the script on her life and totally transformed her for his glory and saved a bunch of people. And if God can do that with her, how much more can he do with us? Amen. Amen? So, by the way, Rahab was a smart lady. She's smart. She was a businesswoman. And do you know what smart businesswomen in that particular occupation did? Is they put their home right next to the city gate. In fact, actually, she was real smart. Location, location, location. Because she built her home right inside the city walls. And those two spies go, location, location, location. This is a really good cover story. This is our cover story. So we're going to go to this, quote, prostitute's house, because what did travelers do? In fact, to this day, it's fascinating. The red light district in Baltimore is right by the port, right? Because generally speaking, back in the day, they had the red light district where all the sketchy little places, you know, they want you to go into is for all the travelers, because I'm out of town. I'm going to have a good time. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Not promoting Vegas. I've never been. All right. Rahab was very easy, conveniently located. And this was their cover story. So they went there and they actually stayed the first night that they went into the city. They stayed at Rahab, the quote, harlot's house. Now, they didn't get very far because, you know, people like to talk. And they definitely like to see who visits that girl's house, right? Because they're all talking about it later. So it got back to the king that very night that, hey, there are two spies in the city and they're staying at Rahab's house. So you should go check it out. So he sends soldiers out there and they go knock on the door. And they basically just straight up ask her, like, hey, have you seen these two strange men? We think they might be spies. And she's like, oh, what? Very convincing. She's smart. What? Where are they? I don't know. How many people got kids? I love my family, but it's so funny when you like ask a kid, you know, they did something wrong and they're like, well, so what happened? Oh, no. So what she did is she actually hid the two spies on her roof under some flax that was just drying out, which was very common back then. And then she told the soldiers, hey, the two guys left. And if you hurry up, you might just catch them. Like she got them out quick. She's a smart girl. She's a smart girl. So the question is, why did Rahab risk her whole life? Not just her business and occupation, her life. And back then, they were ugly. They kill you, they kill your family, and they make it painful in public. Why did she risk this? Why did she receive these people of God into her home and cover them? So we find this out in a very interesting conversation she has with the spies. Joshua 2, 8 through 13 says this. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings, the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. She's like, I heard about y'all. In fact, we all heard about y'all. And you guys are some rough, strong, more than conqueror people where nothing stands in your way and in God's way. We have heard about your God and we know what he's done. And here's what she says later. And I believe in him. So if you go on to read verse 10 through 11, this is where faith kicks in. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and no one has courage to fight after hearing such things. The Lord, everybody say, the Lord, your God is indeed the supreme God of heavens above and earth below. So Rahab came to truly believe and confess faith in the one true God of Israel, and she therefore risked everything to protect them and take them into her home. Because she believed in the Lord God and what he had done. And how much more is he going to do for you? So Rahab the prostitute was willing to take a risk for God's people. So once this, okay, so she's like, you know, anybody know what the term heathen is? I've never heard the term, honestly, because we're very PC in the Northeast until I lived in Oklahoma. And apparently I found out heathens are people that are not Christians. So she was a heathen. Thank you for not being judgy, Northeast, okay? She was a heathen prostitute that had more faith than most Christians. Let's be honest. She put her neck out there and she took a risk in faith. And we need to learn how to step out on what we say we believe. Because if we believe that God sets people free, breaks off addiction, if we believe that God heals us, if we believe that God saves us, if we believe that God delivers us from depression, anxiety, panic attacks, that's my story. He totally delivered me of that. Then why are we therefore not taking risks to go pray for people? Oh, I'll pray for you. Well, pray for them now. What's it going to cost you? Well, they might make fun of me. Really? She could have like died. Okay. So moving on. So by the way, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled risk. It's time to put our faith in action and give God something to partner with because we are called co-laborers in Christ Jesus. Co-laborers in Christ Jesus. So, you know, think about this, like miracles are the dinner bell for the lost, signs and wonders to the lost. And you know what? God loves to show himself strong when he sees a bunch of non-Christians, non-believers. You know, if we want to see God move in signs, wonders, and miracles, we should probably bring some people that don't believe in him to church. He loves showing himself real strong. He just does. Shoot, go to Walmart. I pray for people at Walmart. So easy. All right, so why did Rahab abandon her pagan city and join Israel as an ally? Because she could have lost everything. So I want to say this. When you get a divine reset in your life, it's going to bring new divine alignments and assignments. It's going to bring new alliances as well. When you look to step into a new beginning, the Lord is teaching us to team up with someone. Team up to what God is doing in the now, right? And enter his promises. Because no man is an island. It's a body of Christ. It is a family of believers. And if you study the body, we are to be jointed together. And I hear people saying, well, the Lord promised me in my ministry and my ministry this and my ministry that. And they just sit at home reading their Bible by themselves all the time. And they don't connect with other Christians. Did you know you can connect with other Christians outside of your own church? I have some of the dearest friends in churches all across York County. And I love going. I do. I tell you, like on a Wednesday night or a Saturday night, I just love going and worship with them. I actually get together and pray with them. They're my prayer partners. So it's time to partner what the Lord is doing now, and he is doing a new thing. So Isaiah 43, 17 through 19 says this, stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember the former things of old. I am doing a brand new thing, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts, it grows, and it matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. But we got to stop looking back, right? Because he's doing a new thing. And our past doesn't define us. And we talked about last week, Philippians 3:13. But the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Jesus locked his eyes, set his face like flint into what he was called to do. He wasn't looking at distractions. So I want to say this. You know, God gives you a story to help reach other people. And when we pray, God will work all things together for good when we pray, Romans 8:28. And the only mistake we've ever made is the one that we don't allow God to share and use to help someone else. Right? Rahab was a harlot, but through that past, she saved an entire nation of people and her whole family saved and more. So she turned her back on the false gods. And you know, back then, if you actually study it, it's kind of gross, so maybe don't study it. The evil pagan practices, I can't even describe it because it's rattling what they did back then. But this is a city that worshiped gods and goddesses, gods of fertility, and they had perverse, disgusting practices that they would do to, quote, worship their gods. Among them was child sacrifice and the abuses that came with it. This was a filthy thing. And she left the old alliance and the old culture and the old way of living, everything that she ever knew, to align herself with the one true God and risked her life to further God's purposes. And she backed that faith and that new alliance, not just with talk, we find out, she had action. because she followed that assignment through. She didn't just cover for them. She then went ahead and found a way to get them to escape. She actually let them back down her window through a rope. So I want to say this. So go back to Joshua 2. We're going to read 12 through 13. And this is where it gets real deep. Probably like, I already know the story. Well, I even learned something when I was studying this out. Keep reading the Bible. You will learn things and it's not boring. Oh my gosh. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, called on the covenant promises of God for her and her family. Says this, Joshua 2, 12 through 13. Now then, since I have dealt kindly, I want you to focus on this word kindly. I want you to circle it. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, my whole family, right? That your covenant would cover the people that I'm in covenant with. Think about that. And all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. So the spies were about to get out of Dodge because it was about to get real rough, right? They were going to go conquer this city. And before they left, Rahab cut a covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contract or an agreement between God and his people, of which promises are made. And she took a strong stand on the word she heard about God. And she asked for a promise. She cut a covenant, a promise to kindly deal with me and my family. And the spy says, it's okay, we got your back. I want you to tie this scarlet red cord over your window and you'll be spared. So what does this word kindly mean? Kindly translates in the Hebrew from this word hesed. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But for you people that like want to feel real smart, you can write this down. H-E-S-E-D, hesed. It is often lightly translated loving kindness. But actually, how many people are bilingual, trilingual? We know that certain words don't directly translate, and they say lost in translation. There is power that was lost in translation. Because hesed actually more accurately translates covenantal love. Everybody say covenantal love. It is a legal agreement that God makes with his people to cover them. A covenant where God covers you. And she's saying, I want to call upon covenantal love with your God, where he not only covers me, but he covers my whole family too. So think about this with an umbrella. If I pop up an umbrella because it was raining for 2 days straight and ruined our ski plans. When you pop up an umbrella, right, it doesn't stop the rain around you, but it covers you and anybody that aligns themselves beside you. That is the covenant of God's covering. Okay, so Rahab knew it was about to hit the fan. And y'all know what is about to hit the fan. It is about to get rough and messy and the storm is about to rain down. And she calls on the covenantal love, covering, protection of the God of Israel. Because she took a risk in faith, she identified not only with God's people over her own culture that she grew up in, she chose to identify with God and what he was doing in the land. And because she believed, she made a radical decision, and against her prior culture and lifestyle and old way, she called on the covenant promise of God to cover her and protect her family. And that is why Rahab's name and faith legacy is written in the Hall of Faith. Because we are now covered under a New Testament, new and better covenant with Jesus, right? So Romans 10, 9 through 10, a lot of people have it memorized, but the Bible says, do not let the word depart from before your eyes. Let's look at it. It says, if you, number one, confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, if you confess, if you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? And number two, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So I want you to know this. Confession is not only about salvation in heaven, right? Did you know there is also when we confess the Lord God as Lord in our life and his covenant promises, we tap into the new covenant promises here on earth as well. All right, so I want you, now here's my deep thoughts. You got to stick with me on this one. So Matthew 6, verse 10 is the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look in context to this. Matthew 6, 10 says this. Remember, it says, our Father, everybody say after me, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A lot of people stop the power of confession at just going to heaven. And we forget to believe and confess with our mouth and call on the promises of God of what's in heaven can be on earth as well. Everybody, okay, my students go this. Everybody, you know, okay, we got that? I learned something. Okay. All right. So you wonder why you're outside the umbrella and you're getting slammed in the storm. Maybe sickness is just wreaking havoc in your family because our confession is it's flu season. Better stock up. Think about it. All right. We're drowning in debt and our loans cause us to confess all the time, I'm poor. I have somebody that just always says, I'm poor, I'm poor, I'm poor. Okay. We identify our lives with my cancer, my depression, my anxiety, my addiction. But that's not who we are, but that's what we're speaking over our life. Now, by the way, for all you light people that burn out in the extremes, don't worry, I'm going to address it. What covenant covering are you calling in and identifying with over your life and family? Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love to talk will reap and eat the fruit of those consequences. So all you negative people, well, did you know complaining's popular? Complaining, ranting, raving is popular. It makes you friends on social media. They are not your real friends. They're just going to wallow with you. And you're just going to keep calling in a raining down of the junk, right? Because you will have what you say. Psychology, it's basic psychology. I'm not even talking Christianity. You will have what you say, what you speak over your life. They call it self-fulfilling prophecies in the secular world. So what covenant promises are you calling in from heaven to earth based on the covenant, the new covenant promises he's given you? So now we're going to address some extremes because I grew up in some extremes that did some damage, not only in my life, but in people that I cared for. So Matthew 6, verse 7, this is the context of the Lord's Prayer. So right before Jesus teaches them how to pray, he addresses something. Jesus reminds us and says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling using vain repetitions like pagans. For they think they will be heard because of their many repeating words. I am not promoting the extreme abuses of blab it and grab it. I literally heard someone that I really cared about and respected that had pushed away from a message of faith because of these extremes. And he's, oh, you know, that whole rhema, blab it and grab it thing. And I'm like, actually, that's not what it is. That's just a bunch of idiots that ruined it for everybody else. Sorry, I said that. I repent, Lord. Okay, so extremists, sometimes they talk, it's crazy talk. They're being foolish. And let me explain what I mean by that. So James 2:14 says, what does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Thus, okay, and it goes into a story, but for the sake of time, verse 17 says this, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. The context of the story, if somebody needs food and says, that's okay, I'll pray for you, shuts the door. Really? And that's why Miss Jerrell and JC have a ministry, because they didn't say, oh, that's so sad, people are hungry. They say, I will stand up, I will lay my life down, I will take risks financially, socially, in every area of their life to step out in faith. And by God's grace, he supernaturally covers. And that's what Rahab did. She didn't say, oh, I believe. She actually opened her doors, took a risk. So interesting this, I want to say this. We cannot pound donuts and Mickey D's and confess supernatural health. That's just stupid, okay? And I've seen people do it. I'm going to be real careful on this one. Thanks, I just being careful. All right. You can't say I'm blessed and debt-free and you keep charging up your credit card with stupid stuff. 90% of my life comes from Gabe's and Ollie's for a reason, because I am using wisdom. I confess and speak that I'm blessed and highly favored. I went to get my car fixed and I was like, you know, Mike, I was like, you know what, Mike, God's got me. I'm out of debt. I'm blessed. I'm in good health. But you pay your bills. You get your car fixed, okay? All right. You don't second mortgage your house so you can buy a boat. Get a new car and go on a cruise once a year. And I have seen people do this. I'm in faith. We're going to get out of debt this year. Come on, cha-chink. That's just stupid and it's a bad witness. And it has done almost irreconcilable damage to the message of faith. I'm going to hit a hard one right now. You can't chain smoke cigarettes and say, like Kenneth Copeland, he doesn't chain smoke cigarettes, but say, I'm going to live to be 120 years old. That's just stupid. Okay? You can't ignore a golf, now we'll make it bigger, softball-sized tumor on your neck, okay, and not go to the doctor because really you're just too scared to go and try to pawn it off saying, I'm just in faith. Because y'all, you think you got us fooled, but we know, and you're hurting your family and your loved ones. And thanks, Lord. We will stand before God for the damage we have done in that area. Okay? And if you are getting some things coming to mind, how you've handled some of those situations in the past, you know, you're telling everybody to pray for me and you're diabetic and we are just pounding cakes and cookies and da-da-da-da-da. Your family, their heart is breaking and they are looking at you because they are going to lose you 10 years early. And they're going to be mad at God. I'm in faith. Faith without works is. This is also the message of faith. If there are situations coming to mind, because there's some things we got off by in churches that need to get on track. Ask the Lord to forgive you and talk to your family and friends and coworkers for maybe some damage you have done to the word of faith. A little heavy one right now. Let's talk about Rahab again. Because you know, in context of this whole faith without works is dead, James 2, 25 through 26 says this, in the same way was not Rahab the harlot. Cut the girl a break. Seriously? Do we have to call her the harlot every single time? It's because God's saying, I redeemed her because I put her in the hall of faith. Okay. Just so. It says, also was justified by works when she received the message and sent them out another way. She just didn't start in faith with talk. She followed it through with some risk in action. For just as the body without works is dead, so also is faith without works. It is dead. Who wrote this? James, the brother of Jesus. And I think he had some reason. Because he's actually writing it to Christians. And he's kicking them in the pants to remind them because they're getting a little extreme and getting a little dumb, getting a little crazy and a bad witness. And he's saying, faith is demonstrated by your actions, not just by your discussion. It's demonstrated by your walk, not just by your talk, okay? People can talk faith all day long, but God wants you to step out in it and take a risk. And actually walk by faith, that's the only way he gets glory. All talk Christianity only does damage because they call us what? Hypocrites. So Rahab didn't just mindlessly repeat vain repetition. This is the context. What? She didn't just mindlessly repeat vain repetition. She truly believed in her heart, truly confessed in her heart, called on the promises of God, called on that covenant, and acted in faith. Rahab didn't just say, oh, I heard about your God. She actually did something with that message and took action. She fed, she sheltered, she protected God's people. She sent the spies out another way. She wasn't passive. She saw a mission through start to finish. Rahab the harlot is therefore named in the Heroes Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11, 30 through 31 says this. Tells the end of the story. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. After the army had marched around them for 7 days, it was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, there it is again, seriously, received and welcomed the spies in peace and was not destroyed with those who did not believe. And actually, if depending on what translation it says, did not believe or were disobedient. Because if you say you believe, you're going to have corresponding action. You study that one out. Rahab exercised faith and therefore was saved. Saved means rescued, delivered. So you got to make a move. You know, you can see this girl. Yeah, she's so pretty. She's going to be my wife. You got to make a move and ask her out. Make a move. Just being honest. You have to demonstrate faith. And when you demonstrate faith, you'll see God move in your family, your life, and your community, and even generations to come. Rahab the harlot was named with her past occupation in the Heroes Hall of Faith, next to the greatest men and women that had ever walked the face of the earth that did crazy miracles, like Abraham and Moses, parted seas. She's listed right there beside him because she was a woman of action. And it is here to inspire us, because God wants every person to know, no matter how messy your past is, no matter how bad your reputation is, no matter how much you think you screwed up your life, He's greater. And He will use your story for His glory if you let Him. But you're going to have to tell your story to someone else. And you're going to have to take action and bring people in. I literally remember people that were struggling with addiction coming off it on our couch with the shakes and the cold sweats. Mom knows this. We had an open house policy. If anybody knocked on that door in the middle of the night, we had a couch. We had a basement. We had someone, wonderful man. He lived in our basement. He was getting free from drugs. He's actually in that process. We had to flush a lot of stuff down the toilet when he moved out. Because we weren't afraid of the mess. My dad had a mess story. And he used that story to reach people. The people that our society and even churches and Christians look their nose down on. Yet they're heroes in the Hall of Faith. God will use your story. Take action. Open up your door. Don't just say, I'll pray for you. Bring them into your life. Set another. In high school, I had a friend that really rough growing up. Home wasn't a good place. Every weekend, she spent every weekend at my house. My dad called her other daughter, Amy. And Mom always set an extra place at the table, whether she came or not. She too became a Christian. She used to be a Wiccan. She'd come, you remember Amy? She'd come in her black combat boots skirt. She had red eye makeup all the way down to here. She just probably came just because it suckered into it. But because someone set an extra place at the table and a family opened up their home and my parents weren't wigged out because literally she was hanging out with Wiccans, dressing all black, because our love covers. Come under my covenant covering, be set free. So the rest of the story is this. God used a miracle deliverance of Jericho. Go ahead and read it in chapter 6. There was an action plan. Action, action, we want action. And it was a weird plan. It was sometimes God will tell you to do something just a little bit like, really, God? Like, I don't know, give. Well, God, I'm believing we're going to take our family on a vacation. And God says, listen, there is a family in this church that they are struggling. And every month I want you to go up to that mama and you put $50 in her hand. Or just mail it to her without a name on it. Just sow seed. Be consistent. Even if it doesn't make sense. Because God told them to walk around that city 6 times in a row. And says, don't say anything. Why? Because they were known for ruining their blessing and stealing the miracle. Because they were complaining and grumbling. I think there's a reason why God will sometimes ask you to do something that maybe doesn't make a little sense. Like give consistently. Give an offering, whatever it may be. Help somebody else out. Because through that consistency comes a breakthrough in that action, right? And on the 7th day, he said, then shout with all your might. And the walls came tumbling down. And everything was destroyed except Rahab and her family because of the scarlet cord that was tied in her window. You know what that scarlet cord represents? The redemptive blood of Jesus that covers us. The covering, the new covenant covering of you and your family when you call upon the promises of God and ask him, what steps do I need to take? There are wisdom steps right next to your faith steps. So in the end, Rahab and all of her family became one with the people of God. They got adopted in with all the covenant promises, with all the benefits. And you find out she marries this guy named Salmon. I think it's spelled like the Salmon family. I love that family. Covenant. And he was a prominent man. It actually says he was a prominent man and he helped found the city of Bethlehem. So he wasn't some loser with no job. Okay, oh, sure, I'll marry the prostitute. She fine, whatever. No, like he was a prominent man. He was a good man. She became the mother of Boaz, which maybe we'll talk about in the next couple weeks. If you know the story about him, he was a wealthy man. So listen, she married into something good. But get this, it wasn't that she married into it. She was already covered under the covenant promises of God. And when she called upon the covering of covenantal love,
She stepped into greater promises and the goodness of God. She was a woman of action. Last thought, Matthew 1:5. Matthew 1:5 actually lists the bloodline of Jesus Christ, and she is smack dab in the middle of it. And it calls her, it doesn't cover it up, Rahab the harlot in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Because he said, you're not only good enough, he said, I want you. I want you in my family. I want you in my bloodline. You know, kings were in her bloodline. The tribe of Judah, that's who she got adopted into, which means praise. Jesus is literally going out of his way, looking for your mess, going, I am going to redeem that. And that story is going to be so good. I'm going to put it all over the Old Testament, the New Testament. I'm going to put your story all over this church, all over your community, all over your neighborhood. And we sing the old school song, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. You guys sing it loud and proud, right? Amen. All right. If the worship team can come forward, and we're just going to just worship. And I just want to hit one thought on this. The heroes of faith. Rahab is a witness to the endless grace possibilities in your life. Within each of us, no matter how messed up our reputation is or how haunted we are by our past, God doesn't look who we are. He looks who he's called us to be. And he's like, I'm going to put you in my bloodline. I'm going to get you adopted into the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Your life is going to totally change. Because when you step out by faith through grace, I don't have time to preach 30 minutes on grace. When you step out by faith, you tap into this thing called grace empowerment. It is when he adds his super to your natural and gives you the grace empowerment to do and be what you cannot do and be in and of your own strength. So there's a something about action. There's a thing about rest. And I don't have time to preach it, so we're going to sing it. So y'all stand up. And here, listen, we're going to do action. I want you to come forward because it's uncomfortable. Burn your boat. And if anything, next week, just sit two like rows closer. Okay? Because I want to say this. How can we, like Rahab, start fresh and walk out a divine reset? Those 5 steps to walk out a new beginning in Christ. You remember them? For long-term change. There's a resting in the goodness and the character and the nature of the promises of God. Knowing he's good. He's good. He's got his promise. You can rest in that. You don't have to strive to make it happen. But there are steps he will tell you to take to step out into the deep. And when we sing this song, I want you to think about every promise the Lord has spoken over your life, the new things he is calling, because behold, I am doing a new thing. Can't you see it? You got to see it in faith. And I want you to ask why we pray this. God, I rest in your goodness. I'm not going to strive, but what would you have me to do? Who should I align with for the new beginning? In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus. You are faithful. Even we've been unfaithful in the past, but your mercies are renewed every day. You are faithful. And we rest in your character and your nature as a good God. You are good to make good on your promises. We thank you, Lord God. We ask you what steps to take in this new beginning so entire generations can be saved. God has given you a story for his glory. Share it with the world. Burn the boat. Amen. Amen. Go in peace and love and joy. You are loved. Happy Sunday.